Good morning. It's time to begin our worship. Please silence your cell phones and prepare for worship while we enjoy the prayer. Good morning again, and welcome. Thanks for showing up on this beautiful spring day. Please register your attendance on the registration sheets at the end of the pews. Pass the sheets to others in your row and return it to the center. I'll make sure you know who's sitting next to you today. Please look through the calendar of events and the announcements in your bulletin. One thing that didn't make it is wanted to point out that Saturday, May 18th, there is, at 10:30, there's an evangelism workshop. Everyone's welcome to attend and encouraged to attend. A couple of things to highlight. The search process is ongoing. I think they're scheduled to meet later in May, and I think they... If you've been contacted, consider about serving on that committee, or I think you still have some people.
We have six. I'm waiting for
answers. Okay. Very good. There's a sign-up sheet for lawn mowing. It's that time. Get the lawnmowers fired up, and if you can, sign up to mow the lawn here at the church. Also, sign up for special music over the summer. You're invited to sign up any Sunday from May 26th to September 1. Next Sunday is our recognition of graduates and second graders. If you know someone, make sure you, if your child's completing second grade, make sure you contact the church office by Monday, May 6th. That's tomorrow. Also need volunteers for the VeggieTale Summer Program. And that, make sure you read through that and get the details from the announcement sheet in your bulletin. Any other announcements? Anybody have anything they wanted to? Very good. Let's all stand now and greet those around you, and then we'll continue our worship singing Crown Hymn with Many Thorns, located on page 234 in the hymnal.
Keep the brain active.
Please join me in the call to worship with the responsive reading printed in your bulletin. Lord, save us from ourselves.
We continue to do the same things over and over, expecting different results.
Lord, save us from doing too much.
We go fishing every day, not noticing you waiting with a meal on the beach.
Lord, save us from doing too little. Lord, save us from ourselves.
Help us to hear and respond when you say, follow me.
Please pray with me. Lord, we come before you today and we thank you for all the blessings that you've given us. Many times our lives are so full of busy work that we neglect our relationship with you. For that we are sorry. We know that you never neglect us, for if you did, our very lives would cease to be. Continue to pull us to you, guide us in our journey, and hold us close until the day we come home to be with you forever. Be with us now as we gather in your name. May we feel your presence among us. Hear us now as we pray together, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our sins, as we forgive those who sin against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen.
Seated. Our hymn of prayer today is He Leadeth Me. You'll find it on page 545. We'll sing verses 1 and 2. I'd like to invite the children to come forward for a time of sharing. She's not coming? That's okay. I'm glad you're here, Mackenzie. Good morning. Welcome, everyone. I have something to show you. I have a picnic basket. Today, when you're in children's church, when you're in Worship and Wonder in Sunday school, the grown-ups are going to hear a story about Jesus having a picnic with his disciples. It was after Easter. Jesus was resurrected. He had come back to life, and his disciples were fishing. Have you ever been fishing?
Yeah?
Fishing's fun, isn't it? Well, his disciples were out on a lake in a boat, and they had been fishing all night long, and they had not caught a single thing. They were discouraged and about ready to quit. And Jesus was on the beach, and Jesus waved to them, and he told them to throw their net on the other side of the boat. And they did, and they caught so many fish, they could barely get the net back into the boat. And then they went to the beach, and Jesus had built a fire, and he had bread for them to eat. And Jesus said, Peter, get some of those fish that you caught. And we're going to have fish together. So they had a picnic that was bread and fish. I don't have any fish in my basket. I just have a couple loaves of bread for us to look at and talk about. But I wondered if any of you have ever been on a picnic. Have you had a picnic? Yes? Yeah.
I had one yesterday.
You had one yesterday.
I had one yesterday.
Awesome. Awesome! Everyone's having picnics because it's spring and it's a beautiful time of year to be outside. When we have a picnic and we eat outside, we can see the beautiful trees and the mountain and everything that's so wonderful that God made. And it's a way to praise God just by sharing food with other people and wearing our spring sandals like Mackenzie has on and having a good time together. Yes, you have on a pretty dress today, too. How about we have a prayer this morning? Dear God, we thank you for the joy of spring, for the coming of summer, for picnic weather when we can be outside with you and with our friends. Bless us all when we share food. Amen. Amen. You all can go and sit with your parents or head to worship and wonder in Sunday school. Thanks for being here today. Sometimes at children's time, I feel like we're praying in tongues. On the back of your bulletin, you'll find a list of prayer concerns, of joys, of needs, of friends of the congregation that we want to share today. As we share these concerns, I encourage you to take a prayer card from the pew rack in front of you, write a note to someone who needs to know you're praying for them today, and then place that card in the offering tray later in the service. It's a blessing to have Jean Johnson in from the ranch with her granddaughter, Jodine. We are so thankful to have them in worship today. And Fran and Lee, who've been visiting with us for many Sundays, have their three beautiful daughters with them to celebrate Dad's birthday. Welcome. We are blessed to have you all here. And Colin and Max and Delilah have three grandmas in church with them today. Great-grandma, Grandma Jane, and the other grandma. We're so glad that you could come and visit and help out with the little ones. Our card shower today is for Lorna Cook. She is recovering from a fall. She bruised herself up pretty badly and had a minor injury. Prayers for Lorna for healing. Prayers for Lorna and Roger both. There are many who we continue to pray for who are living with various illnesses, those who are in treatment for cancer. Marie Hinthorn is still at Elkhorn. She'll probably be there for about another week doing some therapy following a fall when she broke her leg. We are thankful that Virginia Yan is back with us. She was able to travel to Arizona and be with her daughter. Her daughter is improving. She's off the intubation and is breathing on her own, and we are so thankful for that, and we thank God that you were able to be there with her for a brief period of time, and we're glad you're back home safely. Monica Decker is home from Elkhorn. Prayers for Cal and Monica. And Mina Paget asks for prayers for her daughter Peggy and son-in-law Dave Brynmer. He had a pacemaker put in and is doing therapy to recover from some heart issues. A joy to share, Spencer Stupak is in South Dakota. He has been studying at the School of Mines, and he has completed his bachelor's degree in engineering. Father-in-law Mike Ward and all the rest of the family are up there to celebrate his graduation this weekend. So we rejoice with Spencer and his family at the hard work he has completed to earn this degree. Our community and world concerns include prayers for Nishan Bakalian, who serves as a missionary in Lebanon. We continue to pray for those who will be called forth to serve on the search committee. As you know, we're in the process of looking for an associate minister. We have job descriptions written. Nine members in the congregation will be serving on our search committee. They will meet at the end of the month with our regional minister, Joanne Bell Haynes, for an orientation to that process. We are following what's laid out in the guidelines, in the church manual, and the church bylaws for the same process we would go through to call a senior pastor. So far, we have six confirmed yeses from people who have asked, been asked and accepted that invitation to serve. Three other individuals have been contacted, and they are still in prayer. So please pray for those people who have been asked to take on this significant task. It is very important work for our church and a commitment of time for those who will serve. We are thankful for their dedication to the congregation. Our regional prayer partners today are the members of Celebration Community Church, once upon a time called University Christian Church, in Denver, Colorado. It's a unique congregation. It's a joint congregation between an evangelical Presbyterian group and the Christian Church Disciples of Christ. Their pastors are Steve Garcia and Jill Jones. There's a sheet at the back of the sanctuary I'd encourage you to sign, and we'll send greetings to them. Congratulations also to the members of South Suburban Christian Church in Denver on calling their new pastor, the Reverend Dr. Ike Nicholson. Are there other prayers today, those that we need to lift up or concerns and joys to share? Debbie. Thank you to everyone who helped make lunches yesterday. It's a partnership that we share with so many others. It's fun when a bunch of First Christian Church folks are the volunteers together. Prayers for Debbie and family at the suicide of her cousin, Julie. Jim. Praise the Lord. Sydney Oliver will graduate from Kelly Walsh High School, and we rejoice with Dad and Mom at that accomplishment and that milestone. And we pray for all of our graduates-to-be and students who are a little stressed this time of year with final exams and that kind of thing. I'm looking in the choir, and Keith Rouse is here. He must have finished his paper, so it's in process. We are blessed to see you and hold you in prayer as well as so many others. Anyone else today? Belle. Prayers for Janice Schmidt, who was in a car accident. Prayers for Don and Randy Sue. They're still out of state and dealing with Don's double vision and headaches and waiting to see a neurologist. So the tests continue. Prayers for Don. Let us hold all of these thoughts in our hearts as we turn to the Lord in a time of sacred silence. Almighty and gracious God, you prepare for the world an abundance of love. Your creative spirit feeds and fills us all. We thank you, Jesus, for continuing to call us that we might follow you. You invite us, O Christ, to come and feast together at your picnic table in our midst. And then you send us forth into the world, into our daily lives, that we might fish for people, that we might use the skills you have given us to help the reign of the Holy One come closer to being fulfilled. O Lord Christ, we ask you to send forth your healing spirit upon those we have named this day who are in need. Be with Lorna and Marie as they recover from falls. Thank you, God, for watching over Virginia and giving her strength and peace in a time of trial. Holy Lord, we rejoice that her daughter Debbie is breathing on her own, and we continue to pray for fuller recovery, for strength in the days ahead. Be with Monica and Cal and Cal's mom. Watch over Mina's son-in-law, Dave, and heal his heart. Lord, we pray for those who have known hard losses, especially for families whose loved ones have taken their own life in suicide. Oh God, we ask for your forgiving spirit to surround the soul and the memory of Debbie Mestis's cousin, Julie. We pray for those who are in such agony and despair for whatever reason that they feel life is hopeless. Oh, holy Lord, bring hope to those who need it most. We rejoice with the success of students, giving you praise, O God, for Sydney Oliver's graduation from high school, for Spencer Stupak completing an engineering degree, and for others who are working hard on their studies. Bless and guide students of all ages to learn and to grow and to serve. Lord, we pray for a co-worker, for Janice, as she recovers from injuries sustained in a car accident. And we ask, O God, that your hand would be upon Don Davis. We pray for wisdom for the neurologist and other doctors who are working to understand the cause of Don's double vision and headaches. We pray for healing, for strength, for peace, for Don and Randy Sue, both. Lord, we thank you for those who are called to answer your calling. We pray a blessing upon Nishan and the work being done in Lebanon. We pray for the members of Celebration Community Church and their pastors, Steve and Jill. We pray for other congregations around the world who are seeking to call forth new leaders, clergy and lay alike, to work in partnership. We ask your blessing upon our search committee still being formed here, and upon a person yet to even be known that you will invite to join in ministry in this place. O good and gracious God, you fill the nets of our souls to overflowing when we pay attention to you. Bless all the relationships of our lives to be lived out in holy awareness of your presence with us and the sacredness of life itself. Thank you for answering our prayers and calling us to join you as we live in the name of Christ, our Savior and our friend. Amen. God has a delightful sense of humor. This past week, Charles and I traveled to visit with some friends, so we were out of town for a few days. So I did preparation work for worship a little earlier than usual, and I gave Kathy my sermon title, A Big Breakfast, thinking about all of those fish that Jesus and his disciples hauled out of the lake and shared on the beach. Well, this morning, if you were here before worship started, you probably discovered the fact that we had a big breakfast today. We have a time of fellowship every Sunday after second service, and Lonnie McBee and the Singletons had signed up to host our coffee hour today. There will be lots of refreshments for you after worship. They wanted to make sure that our chapel folks had plenty of food too, so they came early. And when they got to the kitchen, lo and behold, here was Tom Dowler and Ted Grimm's getting ready to fix pancakes. The home builders class was having a Sunday school class brunch, a picnic, a breakfast together in Fellowship Hall. So we had twice as much food as you almost ever would find around here on a Sunday morning for coffee hour. Several folks pointed out to me that the sermon title is very appropriate. So I hope you enjoyed the big breakfast today. And if you didn't come early, if you didn't get a pancake, you are still invited to an incredible feast that looks a little bit different. Every Sunday, we gather at the Lord's table, and we share together a small taste of bread, a cup of grape juice, to remind us of the bread and the wine that Jesus blessed at Passover with his friends, when he explained to them and to us that bread is his body, his living presence. Certainly this morning when we shared pancakes and all the other wonderful delights downstairs, we shared the presence of God's love here at the table. The menu is simpler and smaller, but the love is equally abundant. You're invited to a big breakfast served in a little cup and a tiny piece of bread. Let us prepare for the Lord's Supper by singing together, Come Risen Lord. You'll find it on page 397, and we'll sing verses 1, 3, and 4.
May recall, on the night that Jesus was betrayed, he took a loaf of bread, and having given thanks, said, "This is my body, broken for you. Do this in remembrance of me." In the same way, he took the cup, also after supper, saying, "This is the new covenant in my blood. Do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of me. For as often as you eat this bread and drink the cup, you proclaim the Lord's life, the Lord's death until he comes." Let us pray.
What a privilege it is on this beautiful Sunday morning to come before the Lord's table, to remember Christ and to celebrate his life. Just days after Easter, we gather together as his church to partake of the bread and the cup so symbolic of his broken body and the sacrificial blood he shed, that we might have new life and a renewed sense of hope for this day and time. And upon taking these elements to our lips, may we have the courage to share this good news with others who seek to find new direction, purpose, meaning, and hope for their daily living. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.
The first words of the Bible are about God's own generosity. God gave us the gifts of a beautiful creation, our home, the good green earth, and the animals that live here with us. On this spring morning, we come together to thank God and to offer our gifts so that the ministry of this church will continue to grow and be a blessing to the world. Let's gather our gifts together and offer them to God in gratitude and praise. The diaconate will now collect our tithes and offerings. Great God of heaven and earth, you call us to leave behind our preoccupations and to follow you into the future. Sometimes we find your call challenging. We are comfortable, maybe even complacent, in our present. May this act of giving be a gesture of our willingness to follow where you lead. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Holy, holy, holy. Our scripture reading today is from the book of John, John 21, 1 through 14. If you'd like to read along, it's on page 115 in the Pew Bibles. After these things, Jesus showed himself again to the disciples by the Sea of Tiberias. He showed himself in this way. Gathered there together were Simon Peter, Thomas called the twin, Nathanael of Cana in Galilee, the sons of Zebedee, and two others of his disciples. Simon Peter said to them, "I am going fishing." And they said to him, "We will go with you." They went out and got into the boat, but that night they caught nothing. Just after daybreak, Jesus stood on the beach, but the disciples did not know that it was Jesus. Jesus said to them, "Children, have you no fish, have you?" And they answered him, "No." He said to them, "Cast the net to the right side of the boat, and you will find some." So they cast it, and now they were not able to haul it in because there were so many fish. That disciple whom Jesus loved said to Peter, "It is the Lord." When Simon Peter heard this, that it was the Lord, he put on some clothes, for he was naked, and jumped into the sea. But the other disciples came in the boat, dragging the net full of fish, for they were not far from the land, only about 100 yards off. When they had gone ashore, they saw a charcoal fire there, with fish on it and some bread. Jesus said to them, "Bring some of the fish that you have just caught." So Simon Peter went aboard and hauled the net ashore, full of large fish, 153 of them. And though there were so many, the net was not torn. Jesus said to them, "Come and have breakfast." Now none of the disciples dared ask him, "Who are you?" because they knew it was the Lord. Jesus came and took the bread and gave it to them, and did the same with the fish. This was now the third time that Jesus appeared to the disciples after he was raised from the dead.
Our reading continues at verse 15. When they had finished breakfast, Jesus said to Simon Peter, "Simon, son of John, do you love me more than these?" He said to him, "Yes, Lord, you know that I love you." Jesus said to him, "Feed my lambs." A second time he said to him, "Simon, son of John, do you love me?" He said to him, "Yes, Lord, you know that I love you." Jesus said to him, "Tend my sheep." He said to him the third time, "Simon, son of John, do you love me?" Peter felt hurt because he said to him the third time, "Do you love me?" And he said to him, "Lord, you know everything. You know that I love you." Jesus said to him, "Feed my sheep. Very truly I tell you, when you were younger, you used to fasten your own belt and to go wherever you wished. But when you grow old, you will stretch out your hands, and someone else will fasten a belt around you and take you where you do not wish to go." He said this to indicate the kind of death by which he would glorify God. After this, he said to him, "Follow me." This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Thank you, choir, for that gift of music today, a beautiful hymn praising the Lamb of God. Would you pray with me? Lord Jesus, you called Peter to feed your sheep, and tend your lambs, and feed your sheep. The same call is given to us, O God, that we would nourish your people and follow you. In this moment, prepare us for that ongoing life task of feeding one another in your name and following you faithfully. Bless the words of my mouth and the meditations of each of our hearts. In your name, O Christ, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. After these things, today's reading begins. Well, in the Gospel of John, what are these things? If you've been in worship the last two Sundays, you already know. John has told us the story of Jesus' resurrection on that first Easter Sunday when Jesus appeared to Mary. And then last week we heard the story of Jesus appearing to the disciples, first to 10 of them in a locked room behind closed and locked doors, and then he came again when the disciples were present a second time behind closed doors, and Thomas that time was there in their midst. So after these things, after Jesus' resurrection, after he has greeted his disciples and shown them his wounds, this story takes place. Jesus showed himself again to the disciples. Gathered together were Simon Peter, Thomas, Nathanael, the sons of Zebedee, James and John, and two others of his disciples. Simon Peter had said to his friends, "I'm going to go fishing." And the other disciples said, "We'll go with you." For those of you who are fishermen, you know that there are times when that is a good opportunity to think, to figure out life, to kind of remove yourself from the busy pace of things, to surround yourself in nature, and to think. I wonder, was Simon Peter needing to think that day? Was he needing to process what had happened? He had seen Jesus be crucified. And more than that, he had denied himself. He had denied his own identity as a follower of Christ. He had denied that he knew Jesus on the night when he was crucified. Simon Peter was probably still processing. "I denied my Lord. My Lord died. My Lord is alive again. What does this mean?" So I wonder, was he going fishing to clear his head? They'd been cooped up in this locked room, hiding from the authorities, afraid they might be arrested and crucified. And now it feels safe to go outside, but they're not sure what to do. Or was Simon Peter just trying to get back to life as he knew it, something normal? James and John, the sons of Zebedee, were professional fishermen. It's how they made their living. A lot of the disciples had grown up along the shore of lakes. They had spent a lot of time in boats, casting nets, feeding whole villages full of people. Maybe it just felt like it was time to get back to life as they knew it, but of course, there was nothing normal about what was happening to them. The guys are out on the boat fishing. This morning, one of our members has chosen to go fishing because it's such a glorious day. And this individual ended up being a topic of conversation downstairs because another member of the family was texting and saying, "Hey, where are you? Gone fishing." And the conversation came up and someone sitting at the table said, "You know, that's a real mistake because fish never bite on Sundays." I thought it was a great response. We'll see if it holds true. Somebody else is doing some home construction on a project in order that they can go fishing. There's something about, if you are a fisherman at heart, there's something about that activity that just draws you to it and calls you there. Simon Peter knew what that was like. So did James and John and even Thomas and the others. So they're fishing, there they are out on their boat in the middle of the lake all night long. Now they're not fly fishermen looking for trout in the North Platte River, and they're not in a powerboat like we might find on Alcova or even one with a trolling motor. No, they're on the Lake of Tiberias, the Sea of Galilee, those bodies of water in Israel are so large that there are places on the shore it's hard to see all the way across, and they're in a wooden boat. They probably even know who built it if they didn't make it themselves. And the way they're fishing is by having this huge hand-thrown net with weights in it that they toss over the side, holding onto one edge of the net and releasing the rest. It's a group activity because the nets are so large. It's no wonder Simon Peter said, "Hey, I'm going fishing. Do you all want to come?" They're working together. They've tossed this net out time and time again overnight, and they've pulled it back in empty. They know all the best spots on that lake. Oh, they don't have a GPS system. They don't have a computerized sonar radar that can scan the bottom of the lake and tell them where the fish are, but they know the lake. They've spent so much time there, they know where the little baby minnows feed when the air is just starting to get warm. They know where the really big fish hide in the depths where it's cool and dark. They've checked all their usual spots. They've thrown that net so many times, their arms are aching and they're ready to give up. It's about then, while the sun is coming up, that they notice there's someone standing on the shore. They're so far away, they can't really tell who it is. But this person calls to them across the water an interesting greeting, a term of affection. "My children, you haven't caught any fish, have you?" It's almost as if that person has been watching them all night long and knows how frustrated and tired they are. "No, haven't got a thing, about to call it in, head home. Build that deck the wife wants after all and go back to work tomorrow." "Try the other side," that stranger on the shore says. Try again, one more time." And so the fishermen take the advice of the carpenter and they toss the net again, but something about it's different. It's tossed in a different direction and a different way with a different rhythm, and all of a sudden it's as if the fish are jumping into the net. Where do they come from? It's as if the fish were hiding in the corners of the lake and now they've gotten this invitation and they're swimming towards the boat by hordes. The guys start pulling in the net. It's so heavy, there's no way one person could get it into the boat by themselves. When this story is told by another gospel writer, they have to call a second boat to come and help haul in all the fish. So they get the net kind of partway in the boat, and Peter's looking at the shore, trying to figure out who gave them such great advice. And somehow, is it just because the light strikes him just right, or that phrase, "my children," is echoing in his ears, there's something about that figure that he recognizes. It's Jesus. Peter is always the impetuous one. He always jumps in with just both feet. He doesn't hesitate. You remember the story of another time when the boat's out on the lake, Jesus is with them, sleeping. The storm comes up. My guess is it's probably Peter who woke up Jesus, "Hey, calm the waves for us." And then there was the time that a storm was coming. They were out by themselves on the boat, and the boat was starting to sink. And Peter looked up, and Jesus was walking across the water. Jesus said, "Come, follow me," and held out his hands. Peter was the one who got right out of that boat and started walking towards Jesus. It was only when he looked down, he started to sink and cried out, "Lord, save me." Well, here is Peter again in a boat on a lake. Jesus is on the shore, and Peter's so excited he can't wait to finish getting the fish in and row it ashore. It's going to take too long. He jumps in the water and starts swimming, and he realizes he had stripped down because it was so hot and they'd been working so hard over the night. He throws his clothes back on and dives into the lake and swims towards the shore. I wonder what's happening in Peter's heart at that moment. Is he still remembering how he had denied Jesus 3 times? Is he overwhelmed by remembering that Christ came and stood in their midst behind locked doors with hands that had bled with holes in his side? Peter gets to the beach, and eventually the others do as well. Jesus has a charcoal fire going. It's warm and cozy. Maybe Peter strips off his wet cloak and warms himself by that fire and remembers another fire just a week or so before when he stood in a courtyard. And someone accused him of knowing this very man who has built a fire before him and baked some bread so they can have breakfast together. There is something about breaking bread with Jesus that changes people. In the book of Acts, there's a story that Luke tells about people walking on the road to Emmaus, and Jesus joins them. And it's only when Jesus breaks the bread that their eyes are opened and they realize who it is. That night when they shared Passover together, and Jesus broke the bread and tried to tell them about his body being given for them. That night changed them and the events that followed. Now here they are breaking bread with Jesus again. And Jesus knows they're tired and hungry. They need some nourishment. So he says, hey, bring over some of those fish that you caught. It's always interesting to me in the gospel stories what details are given and what details are omitted. Why do we know that Peter had been fishing half naked and put his clothes back on before he got wet? What's that about? And why do we know exactly how many fish were in that net? 153, we're told. There are some biblical scholars and commentators who speculate that the known world at that time, in that region, that area of the globe, contained 153 different countries. And so that number is symbolic to remind us, as Jesus' modern-day disciples, that Christ came for all the world. So there's all different kinds of fish in that net, and there's an abundance of them. For whatever reason, that detail is shared. It's pretty apparent. That was a mighty haul of fish. That was a mighty big breakfast. There's no way that that handful of men could eat 153 fish on the beach. Almost as hard as a room full of disciples trying to eat every pancake Tom Dollar can fix. You eat them all, he cooks another one. You eat all that batch, he makes more batter and keeps on going because God gives in abundance. And so do God's people. Whether it's pancakes or love or time, the gifts that we have to share with one another and the world, God gives in abundance. In a sense, this is the last miracle that we're going to see Jesus do in John's gospel. And it's a miracle of abundance, all this fish. Oh, sure, it sounds like the disciples are the ones who caught it, but you know they wouldn't have done it without Jesus. So Jesus is really the one who got all this fish to jump into the net. So many fish. Do you remember in John's gospel the first miracle Jesus did? It was at a wedding in Cana. He changes water into wine. Not just a little bit, but a lot. More gallons of wine than everyone at the wedding could possibly consume and the best wine they'd ever had. God is a God of abundance who gives even more than what we know we need. We think we need a little bit of forgiveness for our sins, but God knows we need a lot. We think we need a little bit of strength to get through the trials of life, but God knows bigger trials are coming, and we need a lot of strength. We think we need a little bit of peace. God knows we need a lot. And God gives abundantly. So Jesus has this huge breakfast with his friends on the beach. And then there's this conversation between the risen Lord and Simon Peter. Last week, I said that I think Thomas kind of gets a bad rap sometimes. We think of him as doubting Thomas. The same thing sometimes happens for Peter. We think of him as Peter the denier. He is the one who said not just once, but three times before that rooster crowed, I don't know Jesus. I'm not a Galilean, I'm not a Nazarene, I don't talk that way, you only think I do, it's not me, you've got me mixed up with somebody else. Three times, Peter denies. Jesus does not want Peter's life to be defined by that denial any more than he wanted Thomas's life to be defined by what some people say is doubting, just because he wanted to see a dead man's hands when that person was walking and alive again. So Jesus doesn't ask Peter just one time, "Do you love me?" or two times. Jesus asks Peter three times, "Do you love me?" Almost as if to give him a chance to redeem every single one of those three times that to save his own neck, he denied the Lord. "Peter, do you love me?" Peter has the chance to say, "Yes, yes, Lord, I love you." And it's not just a question, it's followed by a call. Then feed my lambs. "Peter, do you love me?" "Yes, Lord, you know I love me." "Then tend my sheep, shepherd my flock, lead my people, care for them." "Peter, do you love me?" By the third time, Peter's thinking Jesus has lost it. Maybe resurrection does something to your memory. If you've forgotten, you know everything. You know I love you. "Feed my sheep and follow me." In our own lives, there are times that we are like Thomas and we wish we could see Jesus' hands in the flesh. In our own lives, there are times that we are like Peter and someone says, "Hey, you're a Christian, aren't you?" And we kind of blow it off or get a little shy or say, "Yeah, I go to church once in a while." Just as Jesus did for his disciples then, he does for his disciples now. He gives us chances time and time and time again to see him and be invited into relationship with him so that we can place our hands in his hand. He gives us the invitation time and time again to answer the question, "Do you love me?" And the way God knows that we love Jesus is if we take care of each other. If we feed people who are hungry, if we continue to follow Christ every day, and if we do, the rewards are amazing. The abundance of fish, the flow of wine, the love and grace and forgiveness of God washes over us. I have to admit, I am a little curious about what happened to the rest of the fish. Did they leave them piled up on the beach and they started to rot and stink? Did they haul them into the village next door and sell them and give the money to take care of the poor? Did they start a salt tannery drying station so that the fish could be preserved? I'm surprised that someplace in Israel there isn't a church built around a shrine with a little dead, dried-up fish that says, "Jesus cooked this on the beach." We tend to kind of memorialize those little bits and pieces of history and hold on tight. And Jesus invites us to open our hands and go forth and know that there will be even more given when we need it. If we just open our eyes to see it, if we open our hearts to know it, and answer his call. Jesus asks us today, "My friends, my children, do you love me?" What will our answer be? Amen. Our closing song today is one that may not be as familiar to folks in the congregation, so I'm going to check and see if there's somebody in the choir who knows it well and wants to come up and help lead it. We're going to sing out of the Purple Chalice Praise book, "The Power of Your Love," number 57. The power of Jesus' love was so great that he forgave Peter without any hesitation, not just once, but three times. The power of Jesus' love is so great that our sins are forgiven and God's grace pours forth in abundance upon us. As we sing about the power of love, if there's anyone here who's moved to give your heart to Christ, or you're looking for a church home and you want to join us at First Christian, you're invited to come forward as we stand and sing. Our big breakfast continues this morning. There's fruit and lots of wonderful refreshments downstairs. There's homemade choke cherry syrup. If you want another pancake, you can find it down in Fellowship Hall. There's homemade jams and jelly that one of Ted's relatives has shared with us graciously. There is a feast waiting, and we hope that you will come and join in sharing love and fellowship with one another. If all hearts and minds are clear, let us pray. O Lord Christ, we thank you for the abundance of your love. We thank you for your abundant grace and forgiveness given to the disciples and to us. Holy One, this week, let us go forth and answer your call to feed your sheep, to tend to all of your people in the world, especially to those you put in our daily paths right in front of us. Help us to answer your call, O Christ, when you say, "Follow me." May we go forth, filled with your abundant love, by the power of your love. May we live. Amen.